I showed you that clip 4 weeks ago in my To Be Continued sermon, and I left it open for you to figure out what it meant when you saw that clip. I offered you no explanation whatsoever. And I do hope you've taken a little time to ponder it. Now I'm going to try to explain it to you. And just so you know, I did go around and ask a few people, what did you think? And everybody that I talked to, well, you got the obvious thing. They're leaving the island. Moana's people are no longer going to be there on the island. They pulled the big boats from the cave. And I want you to notice something. Everybody was pulling. There were multiple people out there pulling these boats out. It wasn't just a small, select people that were going to leave the island. Everybody was pulling the boats, and those that didn't pull sat there enthusiastically encouraging as they struck out on this new voyage. You see, the next shot that we get are the boats out of the sea. And just so you know, I personally do not believe the church is designed to be an island that is to be visited. The church is designed to be a voyage that is to be experienced. One in which we the people, we the members of the church, work together to go out into the world and tell our story, the story of Christ, in a never-ending chain. That's part one. So if you got that part out of the clip, congratulations, you got the obvious. But there were a couple other little tidbits that I want to pull out before we dive into today's sermon. And that is, there are some new skills needed. Did you notice? Dad was steering the ship, but who was teaching Dad? It was Moana. When Mom and daughter were standing there on the boat, and they had to do what? They had to tie those lashings. Well, who was teaching Mom? Moana. Then we had to check the currents to make sure the boat was going in the same direction. And who was checking the currents? It was Moana. Why was she doing all of these things? Well, it's because she had already learned those things in her life. And so now she was passing on the skills. But I want you to notice something important. She's not passing it on to the next generation. She's passing it on to the generation behind her so that they can voyage with her. You see, there are new skills that are going to have to be needed if we are going to reach outside of these doors. And they're not the skills that where the older has to teach the younger. The younger are going to have to teach the older some of these skills. When we were in at Christmas break, my mom told me, I want to get a smartphone. This scares me, okay, just a little bit. But when she talked to me about why she wants to get a smartphone, I was impressed. Because she noticed all of her grandkids, guess how they communicate now? Texting. How do her kids communicate now? We text. We don't talk much on the phone. We go back and forth. And so my mom has decided if I want to be part of their life, I can't expect them to come back to me. I have to be willing to learn their methods from them so that I can reach them. That's an important fact for we, the church, to remember if we are going to leave the island mentality behind. We're going to have to pick up some new skills, and those skills are not the skills that we learn from our past. They're the skills that we're going to learn from the people that are standing in front of us, that next generation. We have to observe what they're doing, and we have to figure out how to communicate with them on their level. That's important. The other thing that's important is I want you to note something. Not everybody physically left the island. If you looked out there and you just took inventory of the boats on the water, there aren't enough boats for how many people were living on that island. There just weren't. And there weren't everybody there climbing on the boat. Some of them there were going to stay there on the island. But even if you physically stayed on the island, things were going to change. You see, what was going to happen was those people that stayed behind on the island no longer had the mentality of island dwellers. They are simply now a link in the chain. Then there are supply lines for the boats that will be coming and going. Those things are going to be there to fuel them up so they can go out and reach other people. Yes, I do realize not everybody physically left the island, but mentally, everybody was going to have to change their outlook. That's important. You see, because we're not abandoning the island, what we're going to do is we're going to change the focus of why we are here. We're going back to what the church started out being. A voyage. So now let's talk about the shell and the pile of rocks. I'm sure you noticed the pulpit is not here. I'm okay with that, by the way. what we do have is we have a shell and some rocks. Now, let's talk about the shell first. This shell is important. If you remember this shell, if you've seen the movie, if not, you may borrow it from me. My son, actually, you can borrow it from Benji. Benji got it for Christmas. I'm sure he would be willing to, maybe he'll rent it to you. I don't know. But I'm sure he'd be willing to let you use it so that you can see the whole story, because we left out a whole lot. But this shell is important because it was given to Moana by the ocean. And, well, it was the same shell there at the end that was given to baby Moana at the beginning when the ocean chose her to fulfill this mission that she had. And so Moana took the shell, and then we had the pile of rocks. And if you remember the pile of rocks, we had a whole sermon where we talked about this pile of rocks. And these pile of rocks were piled or stacked from the chiefs of the past. And every chief that was there put a rock on top of that stack. And every time they put it there, it was a passing of the mantle. And it was expected that someday Chief Moana would put her rock on the top, and it would all be about, it would be the next generation taking over the island. And what does Moana put on top of the rocks? The shell. And I want you to wrap your brain around that, because what she is saying by that placement is, I understand the past. I understand our traditions. I understand who we are. But you understand, the island is not my home. The island is a tool. And that's a big mentality shift. You see, Moana's dad was going to be the last island-bound chief. They were leaving the island. And as we are heading forward, I am beginning to also think that maybe we need to do some leaving, but there are some things that will not be changing. You see, this isn't going to change. You wondered if I was going to work this in here, because we've been showing this now for about 4 or 5 years. This is not going to change. This is still how we see that you make a person a Christian. Very specifically, we take them from our community. We make them part of our crowd. We get them to attend. After they go from our crowd, we teach them about who Christ is. We teach them a connection with Christ. And after they get a connection with Christ, we hope to teach them a relationship with Christ. They give their life to Christ, and they are now a committed Christian. This is the process that we believe works best in our world. This is not changing. You're still going to see this picture from time to time. It'll pop up in sermons, kind of like little trailers here and there, but we'll make sure we don't lose this. This doesn't change. Man, we worked so hard last year bringing this in. Remember when the new logo came in, when we changed from Stanton Church of Christ to Parkview Christian Church? We worked hard to bring this idea of shining. How are we supposed to move people from one level to the next? Well, very simple. Serve God with all our heart. Honor God in our worship. Invite others to come. Notice the needs of others to meet them. And encourage one another in our walk. We are to shine. Not going to change. As a matter of fact, you may see this again. Hint, hint, wink, nudge, nudge, wait for next sermon series. Okay, so this is actually going to be part of still going there, but something is going to have to change. No more islands. Now, before somebody runs up here and tells me after the service that I have done it again and I misspelled the word on the slides, I did not. It is spelled exactly as I meant to spell it, because it is no more islands, not islands. No more lands that belong to I. So what is an island? An island is anything, and I mean anything, that forces the attention of the church to turn to the individual. And that's important. Because everybody, whether you think you do or not, everybody has an island. Everybody has a point at which there is no more. You've reached the boundary of how far I'm willing to go. Everybody has a point at which they stop. Everybody has one. And everybody struggles with their islands. I don't care whether you call yourself Baptist or Christian or Church of Christ or Methodist or Presbyterian or contemporary or traditional or whatever other term we want to attach to the word Christian. You have to understand, everybody has what they want. And you know what? Everybody but Jesus had that. Jesus never concerned about himself about what he wanted. He was more concerned about what was needed to be done. And so if we're going to leave the islands behind, this is not going to be some lecture that we have to have. It is really simple. We're going to identify them, and then we're just going to have to move on from them. And the good news is identifying them is not that hard, because there is a guy in the Bible that was the leader of the church at one point, and he had islands, things that he struggled with, things that he wanted to hold on to. And so today, as we turn our page into 2018, we want to begin with dealing with our islands, and we're going to let the Apostle Peter kind of guide us along as we looked at his. And so we begin right where our vision thing, where we got that little community connected to crowd, to committed, right where that goes in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, this is what it says. When Simon Peter saw this, this being the miracle, the fish, all the things that were going on, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." First island we have to deal with is the island of guilt. The island that we think we're not good enough. The island that we think we can't accomplish anything. The island that says, I am a sinful person. Now, I have two interesting things about when I read that scripture. Even if I put it back in context, here's my first question. Who told Peter he was a sinful man? Jesus didn't. Jesus hadn't mentioned the concept at all. It isn't like there was a Pharisee around to tell him what he had done wrong. It isn't like that. And in fact, you know how Peter realized he was a sinful man? All he had to do was get close to Jesus. And the closer he got to Jesus, the more that he realized that something wasn't right in my life. Nobody had to explain the concept of sin to Peter. He figured it out all by himself just by getting them close to Christ. Now, that is a good message for the church. Sometimes we don't have to spend so much time identifying sin. We would just get people close to Christ, they figure it out all by themselves. The other thing I find interesting about that statement is that, well, Jesus never acknowledged it. He didn't say, yeah, Peter, yeah, you're a sinner. Let me go ahead and pull out the naughty and nice list and tell you all the bad things that you did. How many times you missed church? How many times you didn't say your prayers right? How many times you didn't remember to say the blessing before you ate? He didn't come out with a litmus test of how to deal with Peter's sin. There was no real confession there. All he said is what? Follow me. I got the solution for your sin. Simply go where I go, do what I do, because you know, when we live on the island of guilt, when we focus on our sin, you know what it lets us do? Become inward focused. Then we tell ourselves, well, I've got to get my life straight before I can go out and talk to other people about who Christ is. When we focus on this island, then we begin to dwell on our past, and you know what? The island mentality sets in. A lot easier for me to take my guilty conscience and sit it here in the pew and just go, okay, I'll sing the songs. I'll come on Sunday morning. I'll say the right things. I'll do the right things. But deep inside, I'm still struggling with all of that sin. And all Christ wants us to do is turn it over to him and do the obvious. Just follow him. We can't stay living on the island of guilt. The past is exactly what it is. It's the past. And it's time for us to move on from the island of guilt. So this was Peter's first island, but it wasn't his last. Oh no, Peter had to deal with the island of distractions. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31 says, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "let me come out to the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" First question, when did Peter's doubt start? We always think it started when he saw the winds and the waves. I want you to note the question before he got out of the boat. He said, "Lord, if it's you." He saw Jesus right there on the water, and Jesus had already said to them, "Be still. Please, peace, be still. I am with you." He had already addressed them. He could already see him. But even though Peter could see it, he said, "I don't believe it. I don't buy it." So, God, if it's you, Jesus, if it's you, then you know what? Let me come out there with you. And then he got out of the water. Got out on the water. And we had a really good object lesson for this if you attended the season of prayer that we did back in November. Remember right out there in the foyer, we had the bowl. And in the bowl, there was some little plastic beads and there were some weights. And if you dropped the bead in the water, it floated. If you dropped the weight in the water, it sank. And the idea here is that, you understand, that when we begin to focus on the inside, the church will always sink. When we focus on the outside, the church will rise to what it's supposed to be. You see, Peter got out there on the water, and he began to walk. But because he had doubts before he even got out there, when those waves started to come and the wind started to blow, the treehouse didn't spin round and round. If you know what that is, that's magic treehouse. But anyway, but the wind started to blow and the waves started to crash and everything was going on. And all of a sudden, what did Peter do? Took his eyes off of Jesus. Took his eyes off his purpose. Took his eyes off his goal. Took his eyes off of what he was looking toward. And he began to look at all the things around him. And he got distracted. And the moment he got distracted, what happened? He sank. His life began to pull him down. His doubts about what he was doing, his doubts about where he was, his doubts about who Jesus was began to suck him right underneath the water, and there he was. You see, that's what distractions do to us. And I want to tell you something, folks. There are tons of distractions in the world. Man, we've got so much wind blowing around us and so many waves crashing around us that we look here and we look there and we look this and we need to have this, we got to do this, and we got to have this piece and that part, and we got to fix this, and we got to be this kind of socially correct, and we've got to... Understand, those are the winds and the waves that Satan wants us to pay attention to. What does Jesus want us to pay attention to? The man standing right in front of us, him. He wants us to focus on who he is and then take our life and walk it right toward him. Even when the waves are crashing and the wind is blowing, we cannot allow ourselves to simply become distracted. Because living on this island would just keep us there, right there on the island. Remember Moana's people when they looked out there, and why did they not want to go beyond the reef? Because beyond the reef, what is out there? Winds, waves, all those things. I don't want to go out there, so since I don't want to avoid that, I'll just stay right here. Right here where it's safe, right here where my needs are provided for, right here where I can just be on the island, living happy. So we can't stay on the island of guilt. We can't stay on the island of distractions. We can't have a lost focus. But you know what? We also can't stay on the islands of opinions. Now, I want you to see there is an S that go with island here because we have lots of opinions. Don't believe me? Go ask somebody. They will gladly tell you their opinion. I could go around and ask people, what did you think about the sermon this morning? I'll get lots of opinions. I could say, what did you like about the music this morning? I'll get lots of opinions. Everybody has an opinion, but I want you to see we cannot live in anybody's one opinion. And so these two islands, they kind of are the opposite sides of the same coin. The first island that we have to deal with is how I think it's not supposed to work. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Okay? Gave him the basic gospel message. Peter should be ecstatic, right? Not really. Peter took him aside. Could you imagine the audacity? I'm going to pull Jesus to the side and explain to him how he got it wrong. We would never do that, would we? I don't know. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord. So not only does he pull him aside, now he's going to fuss at him. And notice the exclamation point there, and if you're reading along in your scripture, never, Lord. He yelled it at Jesus. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned his head to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. This island of how I think it's not supposed to work, many of us live there. We've had these ideas of how church is supposed to work, how things are supposed to be, what people are supposed to wear, how people are supposed to do this, the order of the service, all of this we think is how it's supposed to work. And the second somebody changes something, we know we're living on this island. You know why? Because our knuckles get a little cold. Maybe our toes even curl a little bit, and maybe we have an unhappy face because I threw somebody a curveball. Things aren't going the way that I thought they were supposed to work. And eventually, you know what we get? People start complaining, well, it isn't the way it used to be. or things aren't going the way that I think, I'm not comfortable here anymore. And you know what? All that is you're stuck on an island, folks. You're stuck on the island of your opinion, how you think it's supposed to work. What did God say? What did Jesus say? Don't have in mind your concerns, man's concerns. He said, you know what? If you want to be the true church, you have to have in mind the concerns of God. What was God concerned about? Only one thing, reaching people. Isn't that the reason Christ came and gave his life? And so if what I have in my mind is not about how what I'm doing will reach people, then guess what? It's my thing. It's my island. It's not God's thing. But there's another side to this coin. You see, I have an idea of how things are not supposed to work, but you know what I also have, don't you? I have an island of how I think things are supposed to work. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. But Peter said to Jesus, again, he keeps calling Jesus out. He keeps pulling Jesus to the side. I hope you see this, that Peter thinks, Jesus, you need to hear what I think because you got it all wrong. Well, this is what he says. Peter says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. We don't do a lot of sermons on this passage of Scripture. This is what we call the transfiguration. It's that moment in time when Jesus was up on the hill, and he revealed who he was. He let them see his glory. He pulled back the curtain. Elijah and Moses came along beside him, and Peter saw all this. He's like, wow! Look at that. This is awesome. This is cool. But I want you to see what Peter did. The first thing he said it is good for us to be here. Well, who was the us that he was talking about? Well, he wasn't talking about everybody. He was talking about, because the next thing that he said is, let me build you three shelters. I will build the shelters. In other words, when Peter said it is good for us to be here, do you know who he meant? Me and you, Jesus. Man, let's just hang out here on the mountaintop. We'll have Elijah on one side and Moses on the other side. Maybe they'll give Elijah the drums and they'll give Moses the bass. And I don't know how they're going to work this out. They're going to have their little worship thing right up on the mountaintop. And there they're going to be, and they're going to sit there and they're going to worship. And Peter said, you know what? It is good for us to be here. There's that island. Peter's opinion's in his way again. You see, on this island, Peter forgot something. He forgot that there were three people that went up that mountain with him. Matter of fact, he didn't say, me, James, and John will build you a little temple. I will do it. Forget about James and John. It's just me and you, Jesus. You know what else he forgot? There were nine other people at the bottom of that hill. There were 12 disciples, were there not? And his mind got totally lost. He got so excited about Jesus, and he got so excited about experiencing Jesus that it's good for me to be here with you. He forgot about James and John. He forgot about the other nine. Man, could you imagine if Jesus went along with this plan? They built that little temple. Those nine men would have died down at the bottom of the hill. Nobody would have came back for them. He forgot all about the rest of the world, did he not? I mean, he got so focused on being in this experience with God that he totally forgot there was a mission out there. He laid waste to the plan of salvation. He set aside the need for a Savior. He put it all to the side because, you know what? It's good for us to just stay right here, folks. It's good for us. You know what he was really saying, don't you? It's good for me. It's good for what I want. It's good for what I see. It's good for me to be right here. So let's just stay put. Interesting enough, you know who interrupted Peter? Not Jesus. No. God's like, Peter, get this. You listen to Jesus, not the other way around. It is not good for you to be here. We showed you something amazing to encourage you to the next level, but the idea is not for you to live on this mountain, because there is a world that is lost and dying that needs a Savior, and Jesus is here for it, and you need to listen to Christ. That's an impressive statement from God, isn't it? Because God doesn't want us on this island of our opinions. Now, the next island, go ahead and get ready. Remember that move I told you a few weeks ago where you reach out and grab the pew and grab it real quick? Well, this might be a good time to use that, because we have to get rid of the island of traditions. Now, I'm real careful when I say that, because I don't mean that you can't ever have a tradition. I don't mean that you can't ever do the same thing. I don't mean that you can't put up a Christmas tree. I don't mean that we shouldn't put out a manger scene. I don't mean that we can't sing a song this or the song that we've done this way or that way. I don't mean that you have to take everything that's out there and wipe the slate clean, but here's what it means. This attitude of, I've never had to do it that way before, we have to do something with that attitude. We can't live on this island. I want to take you to one of the famous verses that we skipped when we went through the book of Acts this fall. We skipped this, and I didn't skip it because I forgot it. I skipped it on purpose because I wanted to come back to it. And this is Acts chapter 10. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like that, like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, here's God talking to Peter again, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Now, you would think if God was talking to you from a cloud, you'd say, sure, sharpen the knife, let's get out the barbecue sauce, let's have some ribs, bacon, whatever goes out there. But nah. Peter looked at God and he said, surely not, Lord. Again, exclamation point. It was a yell. Peter replied, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Jesus, God, what you're asking me to do, I've never done it before. I find this amazing statement when I hear it. I'm dumbfounded by this statement. My kids tell me, if my kids ever came to me about schoolwork and they've got a brand new assignment, and they would have said, I've never had to do math this way before. You know what my response would be? That's why they call it learning, son. Because you've never done it that way before. There's something new that you need to do, and you have to learn how to do it. In every other aspect of life, we understand the idea that learning equals growth. When we start a new job, do we always start with all the skills that we had before? No. Why do we usually look for a new job? Well, we're looking for more money, and we're also looking for ability to grow. When we have kids, could you imagine me looking at that when I have an infant in my possession and the infant starts crying and my wife says, change the diaper? If I look and say, well, I've never done that before, she'd say, guess what? You're about to learn, because that's the way it works. I mean, every part of our life, we have to continue to learn things along the way, except for when it comes to our church. We think we're always supposed to do it the exact same way, that we've always done it because it makes me comfortable. And our traditions, as good as they are, they put us on an island. And as they put us on this island, what begins to happen is we become more inward focused and we come about preserving their traditions, not reaching the people. Man, that's a hard island. As a matter of fact, I could have done a sermon on each and every one of these islands. We could have done a whole series just on that. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Wait for next year. But I want you to see this. Because if we live on any of these islands, we can't do what the church is designed to do. So we have to find a way to leave the islands. And that's important. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it. But one thing I do know, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press onward toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. I want you to see why I love this verse so much, because Paul addresses brothers and sisters, men and women. Therefore, it's everybody, because you're one or the other. Okay? You're either male or female. So everybody is included in what he's about to say. And the first instruction he gives them is to forget what you left behind. That island, don't focus on it. He's not saying don't remember it, because everybody knows if you totally forget history, you're destined to repeat it. Don't forget the island, as I don't learn anything from it, but it can't be your focus anymore. Did you notice as the boats were leaving in that clip that I showed you, when Juana climbed up the mast and she looked back and the island was but a little dot on the horizon way, way away, and she saw it, but she realized it was no longer where she was going, it was where she had been. And so if we're going to actually do what we're thinking about doing in 2018, we have to adapt this mentality. Forget what's behind us. The next instruction that he gives us is to strain ahead. Now I want you to see, he uses the word strain. It's not supposed to be easy. There is no magic wand, and it's all fixed. If we're actually going to do what the church is designed to do, and that is reach out to people, it is going to take some significant effort. Remember the people pulling on the boat? I mean, they had smiles on their faces because it was a Disney movie, and everybody has to smile in a Disney movie. But you did see they were pulling on that rope. It was going to take some work to get those boats back out onto the water. And after they got on the water, it was just beginning. The work was just beginning. Because if you've ever been on a boat trip, you understand boats are a lot of work. Because there's constant course corrections. There's constant things going on. The environment is ever changing. And we have to be aware of those environments. And we have to understand. We have to keep our focus on the boat. It's going to take a mature attitude, Paul says. Only a child thinks everything has to be their way all the time. Paul says the childish thing, we have to put that aside. We have to have a mature attitude that isn't going to always be the way that I want it, and that includes me. It is not going to always be the way that we think it should be. It is going to be the way that God wants it to be, because we are going to be ever reacting to the currents that are around us. Man, this sounds like it's going to be complicated. Matter of fact, he even goes one step further, that as you're going along this voyage, you better be prepared to change your mind. Even when you think you got it all figured out, even when you think you got it all right, understand something's going to change, and you better be prepared to pass that through God and reevaluate where you're going. Constantly check what you're doing and be ready for a course correction. Man, welcome to where we're going. You see, I promised you something, and I always keep my promises. At least I try really hard. I promised you that on this day I would give you the entire calendar for 2018 here at the church. And there it is. It's right below my sermon notes. And you're going to look at that and you're going to say, that ain't much of a calendar. I mean, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 events. And two of those wrap around the Easter weekend. What on earth are we doing? Where are the kids' events? Where are the family fun events? Where's all the other stuff that we used to do? We didn't schedule it. See, because we have to be ready for some course corrections. Because we're going to put a new emphasis in the way that we do church in 2018. I snuck it into your bulletin for weeks, and nobody has asked me one single solitary question about what on earth is it. There's been a question circulating. Are you a wayfinder? About halfway through the famous first series, I placed this question out there, and I've been kind of sliding it here and there, and it's become more prominent as the December calendar came out. It was at the bottom of that. I changed the boards out back so it says, are you a wayfinder? Everywhere you look, you've seen this little sentence. It's kind of like subliminal suggestion. I've just been kind of sticking it into your mind, helping you ask this question. Are you a wayfinder? The question is what's a wayfinder? The name comes from the first original name of the church. Do you remember what it was? We had a sermon on it. The Way. Thank you very much. Good. Somebody was listening to the sermons. That's good. So it was called The Way. And the idea of a wayfinder is somebody that is going to help others find the way. Well, that's a good goal. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We know this comes from Jesus' statement that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we are going to help teach others about who Jesus said he was. Wayfinders are a people. They're all about doing things God's way, not the way that we've always done them. So that means we are going to introduce in 2018 Wayfinders Ministry. Now, if you've got your January calendar, if you picked up a bulletin and you unfold it, you'll see on the third Thursday of the month, there's a little boat sailing on the third Thursday of the month, and right below it, it says Wayfinder, 6:30 p.m. Hopefully I put p.m. because trust me, it won't be a.m. because I will still be in the bed. So 6:30 p.m., and this is going to be our maiden voyage, but I want to explain this ministry to you in detail. Okay, I'm running over. I'm sorry, I got to move quickly. Okay, so here's how it works. First time, there's going to be one meeting. We're going to begin to discuss what we're doing. Then as we begin to discuss what we're doing, we're going to begin to pick out the events that we think we can reach our community with. And as we're reaching our community with those events, the next month we come around, we're going to have a meeting to discuss what we're going to do next, and we're going to have a second meeting to go do what we decided to do last month. So the way this is going to work is we're going to design an event, do an event. Design an event, do an event. The events are very specific. Do what? Understand. The reason that we're going to do it this way is because we want to be reactive to the course. Okay? And I do understand that this makes it more it means that not everybody's going to be at every event. That's okay. We will keep the official Wayfinders meeting on the third Thursday of every month. What will be changing was the events that we schedule for the next month. Sometimes they'll be on a Saturday, sometimes they'll be a weeknight, but not everybody will be at every event. That's fully expected. The meetings are going to be very structured in the fact that we're going to start off with a time of prayer. Not a prayer, time of prayer for the sick, but a time of prayer for the lost, the people that are out there. After we do that, we're going to be doing a short study. The study we're going to start out with is a book called I Will. I'll have the books for you in a few weeks, okay? So we're going to go through that book, and each and every month, once a month, we're going to get together, and we're going to do this study. And then after we do that, we're going to spend about an hour doing planning. Now, I'm a realist. I understand we might have to do 2 one-hour sessions to get going, so this might extend into February before we start the 2. But the idea here is that we want to continue to reach out to people, and the Wayfinders Ministry is going to do that. Now, what about all the other things? We can still have family fun events. Anybody would like to plan them? Step on up. We could use an event planner. We can still do family game nights. I'm okay with that. Step on up. Just need somebody to lead it. The point is that the focus of our church is going to be the horizon, not the island. So here's the question. Are you ready? Because this is going to forever change our church as we begin to change our focus from inside out to go out into the world. It's time for us to leave this island. Not abandon it. Leave it to go out into the world.